Blog Talk Radio.
Can't buy me love, love. I may not have a lot to give, but what I got, I'll give to you. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love, can buy me love. Everybody tells me so, can buy me love. No, 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 no. Say it on me, no diamond ring, and I'll be satisfied. Money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
Money can't buy me love, but sometimes it surely will pay the bills. Give us a call right now, 347-989-0761. You are tuned in to blogtalkradio.com, and I am your host of Hear No Evil, Darlene Lewis, and we have a caller calling in. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? This is Reggie Reg from the Crash Crew.
Reggie Reg from the Crash Crew. True, legendary Reggie Reg. Well, how are you, Reggie Reg? Been trying to get you on the radio for a month of Sundays. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
Very good. What's been going on with you guys? I know you're always busy doing something, doing a party. I heard you got married. What's the deal? What's the rumor out there?
Well, the rumor out there is, I ain't getting married. I'm single. So that's definitely a false rumor.
Okay, sad, but in a way, okay, ladies, he's available.
That's right, no doubt. Besides that, you know, everything has been good. We getting ready to start our spring and summer parties coming up right now.
Mm-hmm.
We got a couple of events coming up, Gemini and Taurus party up here in
mm-hmm.
Harlem. At Span
really?
Hall and everything, and we still looking to, you know, incorporate some of the youth and some of our street activities. You know what I'm saying? It's time for the block parties to start up again. We looking for, you know, new and positive talent, you know, to help us entertain the community of the five boroughs.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now let me ask you something. From the time that you guys were rocking on the radio. What do you see the difference in the type of music that's out there right now?
Well, back in the days, it was pretty simple, and it wasn't. We only had maybe about a good 100 hip hop groups.
Wow.
And now we got over. Back in the '80s, it was no more than mm-hmm. maybe 100. I'm talking just for New York City, anyway.
Right.
And now you got over 100 million because it's worldwide. See, in the '80s, hip hop wasn't worldwide. You know what I'm saying? It didn't become worldwide till like about 84,
exactly.
85, when mm-hmm. when Run DMC and LL and Dougie Fresh and Rob Bass and them. It wasn't worldwide from 1973 when hip hop started up to about 1981. It wasn't a worldwide phenomenon. You know, mm-hmm. It was still an underground music. Like I said, up to like about 83, 84.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So now you have a whole different a slew of creative ideas. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You got some people that's going to the left,
mm-hmm.
because if they're not using a record company, they pretty much can say what they want to say on the records, and
mm-hmm.
that's where you have the misogynist type lyrics that has overshadowed the positive songs, because mostly a lot of people want to hear the streets, as they say it. They call it the streets.
Right. Now, why do you think that is?
I say society in a whole is going downhill. I don't know. This is my opinion.
Right.
But I think humanity is breeded on survival of the fittest.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Which is just how it is. You know what I'm saying? We are born hunters.
Mm-hmm.
We're just born that way. I'm not going to say that we are savages or nothing like that, and we love violence.
Right.
But a lot of us love violence. We love violence. And that's what it is. If you look at all the movies that's out right now, it's all about guns, shooting, kidnapping, and stuff like that. There's no really, there may be like one or two upliftment movies out right now, and it's only catered really to the women. You know what I'm saying? The women's struggle, which I ain't mad at y'all, but that's pretty much my opinion of what I see.
Now, you said that society has gone down. Now, it's funny that you would speak on that, because the topic question of the day, you know, every week we try to have some type of topic where we have opinions from artists and callers that call in or email talking about various subjects. And we're talking about the basketball wives.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of my colleagues believe that this is, these reality shows that depict women as gold diggers and evil and lonely and miserable,
yeah.
and ghetto.
Yeah.
And what is your opinion of the basketball wives? Are you familiar with the theories that come down?
I'm not too familiar with that. I look at the game,
okay.
which is pretty much almost the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not really, but it's almost, to me, it's almost the same thing, because I'm really not into those type of shows. But
right.
I believe it's absolutely right. It is depicting the women, because, I mean, the way it is now, the way society depicts women right now, you don't have that wholesome home body girl, or that wholesome righteous woman out here anymore. They're a rare breed. Most of these girls out here, it's like, I got to get mine. You know what I'm saying? Hook or crook. You know what I'm saying? If I got to show something, drop something, do something, I'm working my way through school. That's the excuse that I've heard. You know, and it's like, and there's a lot of money out there for that negativity, and that's what keeps the fire going. That's what keeps the fire hot. You know what I'm saying? They're getting, if you got a righteous girl that's trying to work her way through school, she's doing tutoring, she's volunteering, and you got a girl that's out here, you know, showing her stuff, and she's coming home with hundreds and thousands of dollars, pretty soon or later, that righteous girl is going to be like, you know what, man, I'm going to do this. You know what I'm saying? It's just so much, it's so much push for negativity out here in the society. You know what I'm saying? Our young brothers and sisters rather sell drugs than pursue an education. You know what I'm saying? And make that money. Nobody wants to wait. Everybody wants instant gratification. You know, and nobody wants to struggle anymore. Everybody's looking for the easy way out.
Now, why do you think that, do you think that some of the people think that they're not going to be around for the long haul, so they want the quick money and the quick excitement, like, right now? Or is it just that they're living out of fantasy from what they have been consuming through the media? Do you think that's what it could possibly be?
Yeah, I think my opinion is that the media definitely has a lot of pull on what's going on in society today. The media is definitely a powerful vehicle where it influences everybody. You know what I'm saying? Our kids, it influences older adults, it changes people's thought of thinking. Mm. You know, after a while, if you see a couple of people succeeding doing a certain activity, you're gonna take question to it, especially if you're struggling. Especially if you're struggling, I try my best to stay grounded. You know what I'm saying? In a higher power and with the people around me to just keep me on a positive road. You know, especially when I'm writing lyrics, because
right.
I can easily write some negative stuff.
Right.
I can make up some fantasy stuff knowing that I never did before, and spit it for some people, and they'll love it. And then that will make me want to say, well, you know what? Forget trying to stay positive. Forget trying to stay to the music. I'm going to just go hardcore, because that's what everybody is doing. That's what everybody's getting paid. But it's just about the foundation and the people that you keep around you that encourage you to stay on your grind. You know what I'm saying? And not join the other grind. But media definitely is influencing our communities.
Well, you know, it's funny that you would say that, that the media, because me having a talk show and a television show, you know, we try to present information to the public, and a lot of time we have to turn away a lot of individuals that want to, you know, bring the money to promote. Like, I turned down a lot of songs.
And they can pay for it, right?
Because
they
want
the money
they want to spend the money, but at the same time, I still believe that it is up to the programmer to decide what people should listen to and what people should not listen to. We're going to take a small break, and then we're going to come back because I see we have other callers on the line that may want to speak to you. Okay, we'll be right back.
Okay. Thank you. everywhere. On the pro, on the radio.
Another caller all calling in from, it seems to be 212. You're on the radio with legendary Reggie Reg of the Crash Crew. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, caller.
Y'all can hear me?
Yes,
yeah,
we hear you.
Good.
Who are you?
What up? I'm Marlon Rice.
Hello, Marlon.
What's going on?
How are
Hi.
You, Marlon?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm just really calling in because, you know, you and our Facebook friends and I, you know, I see you promoting your Blog Talk show, and I wanted to listen. You know, I'm here at work, and I ain't really doing nothing, so I said, well, let me listen in. And you guys have had a great conversation so far, so I've been good on hold.
Cool. All right.
I've been good on hold, you know.
Well, you know, Reggie Reg is like, well, I won't say he's like, he is a pioneer. But for all of my listeners out there that are new Jacks, Reg, tell this listening audience a little bit about your start in the music industry and how you happened to get involved with the Crash Crew.
Okay, well, I'm even telling my age now. I started way back in, like, 1977. I'm first generation hip-hop.
Right.
Okay.
With the vinyls, the cassettes, and the 8-tracks and all that good stuff. And I got involved with the Crash Crew and Lincoln Projects. And what we used to do, we used to just promote parties with Mike and Dave at Harlem World, Randy's Place, Celebrity Club. Almost 30 years ago when hip-hop was very, very young. Hip-hop must have been about, 73, at
four
least
years.
Like five. Yeah, four years old. Now hip-hop is over 37 years old now. So what we did, we had put together some of Youth Corp money, and we had pressed a test plate of a routine that we used to do off of this record called Freedom, High Power Rap. Mm-hmm. And we sold it out the back of Mike and Dave's car, and we sold it hand-to-hand in the streets and just carry boxes of records, and we sold enough to buy more records, and we sold more, and then the big companies took it from out of our hands. So we was only like 16 years old at the time. So we didn't know anything about music, publishing, copyright, none of that stuff.
Didn't know, because I was a writer back then, and I knew about copyrights. I mean, what do you mean you didn't know? You didn't know that you were supposed to protect your lyrics, or you didn't know about publishing?
No, we didn't know. We didn't know about protecting lyrics, and we didn't know about publishing. We was coming straight out the project. To us, we was having a good time. You
now,
know
Mike
what I'm
and Dave is how old? How much older were they?
Mike and Dave
was
about two or three years older than us.
Right, because I used to go to the Mike and Dave party. They used to do it at Kennedy Center.
Right.
Because my family owns 22
age.
West.
Yeah,
my family
like
owns 80. 22 West. So they used to come in there a lot.
Oh,
and
yes,
it's so funny because my cousin Preston and his backer owns Celebrity Club. So you mentioned clubs like Harlem World. I used to model in Harlem World like in 75. So like when you say like 77, I was hanging in the Bronx. So there was a few artists out around that time with you guys. You guys didn't think to, like, try to get some type of information from some of the people that were pressing up records back then, or no?
No. No, we were totally independent, coming straight out to projects. And like I said, we were just, our focus was just getting famous.
And you know what? You guys are, like, the original street, hand-to-hand, independent, you know, selling out the trunk of the car, not doing taxes, not thinking about paying taxes.
None of that
Well, you had to pay some type of taxes if you audit records, because what you did is, like, on the white label.
Yeah, we had a white label, and we put a rubber stamp on it. We brought a rubber stamp from the hardware store that said Crash Crew, and we stamped all the records in the box, and we went out. We didn't put a label on it till to 1980. We didn't get a regular label until 1980. No barcodes was out there, but after the end of 1980, we did get tagged because we had took the group Freedom's record, Get Up and Dance.
Right.
And we got tagged for copyright on them.
And
we had to pay them an undisclosed amount because we didn't keep no records. And then at the same time, Sugar Hill Records had came out in 79, and they took Freedom also.
Mm.
So they paid more attention to Grandmaster Flash's Freedom than they paid more attention to the Crashman's Freedom, because Flash's them was they made more money.
Mm.
They made more money. They was on Sugar Hill label, which was like the Def Jam in the 80s.
Right.
And we were just a regular underground label.
Any of the original albums that you guys pressed up?
I got maybe two. I got two. One is upstate, where that one will stay at my sister's. And the other one we have circling around here amongst one of my crew members who don't seem to know where it's at this time. So that's what it is.
Wow.
But you can find some of them, like, been over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
That record, High Power Rap, you can find in some of the record collection stores, like Downtown Rock and Soul or something like that, because we had reprinted it.
Right.
Just so people can have access to it. And then after that, we wound up signing the Sugar Hill Records, because Sugar Hill Records, like I said, was the Def Jam of the 80s. So we wound up signing to Sugar Hill Records, and then we started going on tour with Grandmaster Flash and the Sugar Hill Gang, and I still was under 18 because my mother had to sign for my contract. And that's when we became aware of publishing and writers and all that stuff. I mean, we were so young, we just didn't have no inkling. We didn't have anybody that knew anything about music. Like, my mother gave me a heads up on it, signing Sugar Hill. My mother didn't even know I made the first record with Mike and Dave, High Power Rap. She had no idea.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? She just knew I was DJing. And that's just how that went.
You should write a book about your experience, you know, Reg. I always tell some of the legends to tell their own stories because, you know, I mentioned you in my book, Hip Hop Before the Bling, but I don't really go into detail as to, like, the plight of a lot of the hip hop artists because I didn't want to sound like the same old R&B plight, because the same thing happened to many R&B artists and rock artists and rock and roll artists. The same situation is probably happening right now. A lot of people, like the artists that we have out that are young, they probably are going through the same thing too, and the stakes are higher.
But you know something, though? I got to give it to these new school artists. They have learned from us old school cats to get your business straight. So
right.
I gotta commend them for that. They did pay attention to that, and it's about getting your money and copywriting your lyrics and all that good stuff, getting your publishing. And I like what they're doing independently. They're not dependent on record labels like we did back in the days. We was dependent on record labels, shopping for deals and all that stuff. You don't have to do that no more.
Exactly.
If you got a computer, you got access to the internet, you can make your own record on your laptop. You can do everything on your laptop or your computer and start your own record company. All you got to do is just register it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I commend a lot of these new artists. The music, I can feel the music. I like the music. I like the new instruments that they're using. I like the new ideas. It's just some of them are just taking the easy way out as far as with the negative lyrics, you know what I'm saying? But you can't stop it because it's independent and there's not no regulations on mixtapes and a lot of this stuff. And then you got big media that really wants the negativity, you know what I'm saying, because they have an agenda. They want you to keep the negativity going because it's making money for them. And it's also, in a way, it's breeding more of, how can I say it without sounding revolutionary, but it's just breeding more negativity in the community that's just carrying it on and on for generations and generations. You know, it seems like we did calm down a little bit with a lot of the misogynist music after Biggie died and Tupac died. A lot of the negativity did calm down. A lot of people got into the dance. If you listen to hip hop music now, there's an R&B singer on it now. Mm-hmm. Almost every hip hop song. You don't have no more straight hip hop songs. Now Jay-Z may have some, but a lot of the songs that come out now, it toned it down by putting R&B singers on it, which is pretty good to me.
Let me ask you another question.
Cole, you got a question?
Yeah, I do have a question.
Well, I'm going to let the question. Hello, who shows this? We have a list of things that we have to do, and I will let the caller get an opportunity because we all want to.
I'm sorry, Miss Lewis. I apologize, Miss Lewis.
Yeah,
see,
don't
really
try to take up a show down.
I know how you are, Reg, but we are on overtime right now, so I got to get everything in.
Okay.
Has there been any artists out that have sampled or copied any of your work?
Oh, yes. Jay-Z copied Girls, Girls, Girls.
Mm-hmm.
From us, and I think it was like 2003 when he came out with that or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave us 25% of the writers, which was pretty good.
So you say 25%, is that a one-time thing or every time the record plays?
Every time it plays.
So
Jay-Z looked out.
Who wrote Girls, Girls, Girls?
The whole Crash Crew.
No, but who came up with the Girls, 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 Girls?
Well, that would be Disco Dave.
The one that died?
No, that's Dal C.
Where's Disco Dave?
Nobody really knows. Dave is he's still alive, but Dave retired a long time ago. Mike and Dave and him, after we went to Sugar Hill Records, the whole thing came apart after that.
How does he get his money?
We all is registered as writers on the song.
Okay.
So it wasn't like it was a solo record. You know, it was a group record. Even though that was part of his lyrics, it was part of our song.
So you guys did register the records after a while you started doing copyrights and all of that.
Yeah. Just the first year when we was out here running wild, selling records in the street and running into parties and buying pro cans and stuff.
Parties. How did you come up with the name Crash Crew? Is it from Crashing Party?
No, not really. Well, I came up with that name because we had a mixtape that we would sell with breakbeats on it, and we had a car crash sound effect in the beginning of the tape.
Mm-hmm.
And that tape was pretty high. We were selling them for like $3 in the high schools and stuff. And everybody had the car. It's like, yo, we want that tape with the car crash on it. And we didn't have a name in the beginning. First, we was just known as the Force of the Five MCs.
Mm-hmm.
So with the car crash being on that mixtape, and we like, yo, we got to come up with a name. It was like, yo, let's call ourselves the Crash Crew. Plus, we did a lot of running around and crashing parties and stuff like that back in the days because we was, you know, we was out there. And so...
Now, before you go any further, this is my last question. Well, it's a mixture of two questions.
Uh-huh.
Name all of the members, living and dead, or living and expired, that are part of the Crash Crew or have been a part of the Crash Crew.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that would be Daryl C., rest in peace.
Right.
You got Disco Dave, Mixmaster Mike, Kenny Yoda, Reggie Reg, Mike C, La Shu B, Barry Bistro, G Man, Fly Guy, 45, Debbie Dev, Mace G, LSD. It was about a good 15 of us.
Wow. And how many is left?
Well, there's only four of us left that's active, that's still into music. Only four of us left out of 15. Because we also was a production company. We also did parties and stuff like that. So, like, three of us was promoters, two of us was DJs, five of us was MCs, you know, things like that.
Right.
So that's why our number was so large.
And splitting the money, when you guys have to do a show, how does that work? Is that hard?
Well, when it was 15 of us, yeah, it was hard. But now that there's only really four active members left, it's gravy right now.
And do you do shows often?
Oh, I forgot one member, our new DJ, DJ Jazz. DJ Jazz is the newest member of the Crash Crew.
DJ Jazz?
Yeah. I'm from
Riverside.
Is he
a new school DJ?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Now, do you know about this overseas concert that's taking place with Captain Rock?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, it's like New Electro Stars. That's what they're calling it, the New Electro. It's Street Sounds website. If you go to streetsounds.com, you probably, because what they're trying to do is get together a lot of the artists from like the 70s and 80s and bring them to the United Kingdom.
Wow.
So
well,
you may want to check that out because Captain Rock is on here, Ronnie Green.
Uh-huh.
And DST, Grandmaster DST, the B-Boys are on there, and Nucleus so far.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay, you see that Street
that
Sounds?
Out. Street Sounds, it's like a UK Fresh reunion.
Okay, that's what's up.
Yeah, they're really reaching out to a lot of B-Boys and just a lot of, you know, remember Nucleus? Wiki.
Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah. And DST, of course, you know him.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely going to reach out to them. That's cool.
Yeah, Street Sounds. Now, the caller, Mr. Marlon Rice, I'm quite sure you have a question or two that you'd like to ask our caller, our guest legend, Reggie of the Crash Crew.
Yeah, absolutely. First off, much respect goes to you, Reg, definitely, because you and the Crash Crew are definitely one of the icons in terms of when you discuss pioneers of the culture of hip-hop. You know, you as an individual and your crew as a crew, because crews were very important at the beginning of the, you know, of hip-hop. They still are now, but crews were much more important when I was coming up. You know, I'm a little younger. You know, I was coming up in the 80s, you know, when it was more Curtis Blow, you know,
and
Waterbed Kev, Grand Wizard Theodore, Rakim, of course. You know, but the crew dynamic was very important, and Crash Crew was one of the pioneer crews, you know, so you definitely deserve a level of honor for your work in hip-hop. What I want to discuss is you touched on the fact that music is more negative now. There is negativity in the music, and that negativity is an attribute that's embedded and placed purposely in the music, I feel. When we was coming up in the 80s, when I was a young guy, there was this balance that existed between knowledge and, like, you know, reckless. Like, you had your NWA, but then you had your KRS-One and Rakim.
Right.
You had the Gods teaching lessons, and then you had gangster rap, which even in its inception wasn't about killing each other. It was more like F the police or F the man, right?
Right.
So nowadays the corruption of the music is definitely evident in our culture and in our society. You know, for anyone that was at its inception, to look at videos now and the imagery and things that go on, you know, in the music now, you have to be able to see that it's a negative thing. But let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that one of the reasons why this has happened is because there's been, like, there used to be unsaid rules in hip-hop. Like I'll give you an example. One of the unspoken rules in hip-hop was, like, no biting. So, like, if you were in a cypher in the 80s and somebody said a word, a new word, that you hadn't heard used in a rhyme, and then you took it back to your hood and you started using that word, you was biting. And so because of that unspoken rule, it led to rappers being more creative and trying to find new ways of saying things, you know, trying to be the one that brings that new slang to the table. So what I was, my question is, do you think that the loss of these unspoken rules was a was something that was done on purpose, meaning the corporate entities took it away from us? Do you feel like as young as the generation, like, you know, from first generation to second generation hip hop, somehow these rules were lost in translation and younger rappers don't really see the importance?
Yes. That's what it is. You hit it right on the head. That's what it is. The translation and the torch wasn't passed properly.
Right.
Wasn't passed properly down. You had different factors, different entities that, well, okay, the Manhattan and Bronx is doing this. Well, now here comes Queens and Staten Island with our set of rules.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it wasn't, I mean, even though we all love each other today, but back in the days, we were all competition to each other.
Right.
We would never have no beef with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But we wouldn't tell you what our trade secrets was. We wouldn't do no collabos
mm-hmm.
or nothing like that with your crew. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? That was back in the days. The collabos didn't happen until Sugar Hill. So Sugar Hill, like, well, we're gonna put Flash with the Sugar Hill gang and put them together like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the torch definitely wasn't passed, and with the rising of independent labels.
Mm-hmm.
Where I can say whatever I want. It's like Master P label, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
When he went independent and sold all the records without a record label, that was mm-hmm. proof of the pudding right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. that's what happened.
Right.
You had the different rules in different countries, different states. California came in with their own rule.
Right.
When NWA came out, who was regulating that?
Right.
Who was regulating that first record? Well, I forgot the Straight Outta Compton.
Straight Outta Compton, right.
That was an independent joint.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also got the agenda of the big companies that's like, yo, if they're selling guns and the guns are selling,
mm-hmm.
we got to make sure they get more guns so we can get our cut.
Right.
Forget what
right.
they do with them. And,
right.
and that's the same thing with the music. The music is a gun.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? It's very influential in society. I mean, we had music since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is.
So let me ask one more question. It leads into a second question, and then I'll get off the phone, Darlene. I don't want to take your show from you. I'm glad that you gave me this opportunity, though. You know, like I said, I definitely wanted to touch base and hear the discussion that you guys were doing. But it
Thank
leads
you
me
so
to
much.
Nah, no problem. Definitely, it's my pleasure. You touched on how corporate entities looked at hip-hop. I do occasional panel discussions, and in one panel discussion we discussed Fresh Fest and how at the Fresh Fest press conference, Run DMC, Houdini, you know, a couple of crews were there, and Run DMC and Houdini started freestyling, right? And Run, like, there was Coke and there was Sprite cups all along the dais, and Run said, you know, I'm the real deal, like Coke is it. Right?
Uh-huh.
And I could just imagine when he said that, I could imagine corporate entities salivating like, oh, man,
what?
Wait a minute. We can put our brand in the mouths of these rappers and they'll spread the word to the masses. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just automatically sort of – and so at that point, I think the exploitation of rap began, right?
Yes,
so now you have a situation like the brother Kool Herc, who without question is the godfather of this, one
mm-hmm.
of the godfathers of this. When he was taken ill, you know, there was a call that went out to, you know, everybody in the industry, you know, about helping Kool Herc out, right?
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now in the NBA and in the NFL, you have these player associations. These associations which are like the bodies of support for the players and for the veterans. You know, they,
mm-hmm.
they make sure that the industry, which is the league, provides certain funding for veterans who are ill, you know what I'm saying, for players
right.
who can no longer play. And this is something that was brought about by the players. It wasn't something that the league owners put into place. It was something that the players put into place, saying, listen, we need this structure to take care of us throughout, because just like football,
their contribution and everything they did.
So my question is, it's a two-part question. The first is, do you believe that there's enough deference being paid to old rappers by newer rappers? And the second question is, what do you think we need to do in order to create a structure that can provide, because without question, Reg, what you did in your time is the reason why Lil Wayne and Drake can rhyme about Lamborghinis and whatnot. So, no, I don't agree with you when you say that they're smarter than you guys. I just think they're reaping. It's sort of like when your father puts in work and then you, his son, you inherit that work. You know what I'm saying? So they inherited, you know, the culture of hip-hop and everything that came along with it. But I don't think that there's enough deference being paid to the elders.
I agree. I agree totally with you. And like I said, the thing is that the torch has not been passed properly. They don't know who their fathers are.
Right.
They don't know who they uncles are.
Just like a lot of black families.
Yeah. And it's almost the same with hip hop. Hip hop was in the hands of the urban community, but the urban community didn't know really what to do with it. It got so big. Hip hop got so big that it became bigger than the urban communities.
Right.
And the people that knew about big business and knew about all that stuff said, you know something, we need to put our hand in this and guide this.
Mm-hmm.
And they just guided it away from what it began to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It became merchandise, marketing. Mm-hmm. It became whoever's the hottest rapper, whatever his agenda is, that's going to be the agenda for the 100 million people that listen to this record, because they're everybody going to want to be a gangster now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody going to want to go to jail now.
Mm.
You know, and that's just the influence that hip hop has on society. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's out of control right now. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna take a whole lot. It's gonna take a whole lot for pioneers to try to come back.
Mm.
It's gonna take a whole lot for pioneers to be accepted, because a lot of the old school and the pioneers are not even accepted, because it's like, come on, man, you had your chance.
Right.
You had your chance. Let somebody else rock now.
Right, but there's no real deference. And if you look at rock, right, how did blacks lose rock? The same two ways you just discussed. The first was that the music became too big for the roots, right?
Mm-hmm.
Corporate entities valued it more so than where, you know, the roots it came from. And then the second thing was that, you know, it got to a point where the people that was in control of it didn't do a good job of controlling it, and now the face of rock and roll is Elvis and not Chuck Berry. And my fear is that 50 years from now, the face of hip-hop will be Eminem and not Kool Herc or not Curtis Blow.
You're absolutely right. We have some vehicles in place, like the Hip-Hop Museum that's being worked on. We have the Hip Hop Hush Tours that's led by Deborah Harris, Grandmaster Caz, myself, and JDL from the Cold Crush Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, this is a small mom and pop company, you know, and we're the only hip hop tour that there is in existence.
I'm sorry, you mentioned the museum. Now, which museum? Because I keep hearing about several different museums.
They're in a battle right now, Darlene. They're in a battle right now of who's going to be in charge of this museum.
Because I need to know where
about
my footage is going. Like, I have a lot of footage, and, you know, I talk to Ralph about this all the time, Ralph McDaniels, and I have a lot of footage from, like, the early 80s, mid-80s, late 80s, of a lot of artists that became extremely famous. And I want to be able to put, like, I already have something going, working with the Smithsonian. But I want to know where this hip-hop museum is going to be. Is it going to be in the theater or Magic Johnson? Is it going to be this hip-hop?
They haven't decided yet.
It's terrible.
they're still fighting for the control.
Who's
of it
they?
Because
is it the people that
pioneers don't want to put their stuff in that museum and lose it like we did a couple of years ago. They had a hip hop museum in Brooklyn. I had like two original Crash Crew jackets from like the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they at now. Records, I don't know where they at now. Nobody knows where they at.
So they're in storage.
They've been sold overseas. Well, I don't have no idea. So the pioneers want to be on the board of directors. But the pioneers don't have PhDs and BAs.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that's putting in the money is saying, I'm not going to be putting in millions of dollars for a museum to some guys that don't have a business education background. Yeah, they were pioneers, sure.
What the hell is this? What, you need somebody
then,
in the clique?
Man,
television pioneer. What's the difference?
It's a big thing going on, Darlene. And the longer we bicker about it, the longer it's not going to happen. And the longer
let me ask you a question. A building, all it needs is a curator. All it needs is a curator, a building that's owned. You know, like if people just put their money together and rent a space, okay, enough of us to have real estate background and have business acumen and have education, that have access to media, that don't have to depend on these people, these outsiders. And if you keep going to these people for something, then they're gonna put up these barriers. It's just a matter of getting a damn building. It's just a matter of developing a nonprofit organization, get 501c status, get a damn landmark building, hook up with a politician, boom, 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 and get a building. That's it. All of this, it sounds to me as this is a lot of BS. Like, who wants to say, oh, I am the owner? No, the pioneers either have to play their position. Either they're going to control the board or control the building. That's it. It's nothing else to talk about. But whoever put their stuff in, it has to be a building that's not going to be a building that's paying rent. It has to be like a museum. It has to have museum status like the Schomburg.
Well, I don't know, Darlene. It's kind of like real big for me right now.
Yeah.
You know, I lost a lot of memorabilia in the first one about 7 years ago.
That's
and I'm
terrible.
Pretty much... And it's depressing, you know what I'm saying, that's going on. And it just, for me, I think the best way, if you're a pioneer and you still got some skills, make another record. Make another record. Come out here, reintroduce yourself to the community, to the masses.
Right.
And then you might get heard.
Right.
Until you make another record, which is your original power.
Right.
You just running around saying you read your Reggie Rex from the Crash Crew is not going to do it.
Right.
Especially if your record is over 30 years old.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Let me just say this. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you know, like the R&B acts and the Motown acts of the 60s and 70s do exactly what it is that you're talking about. I went to a show like 6 months ago, and I'm 35, right? So this is even beyond my generation. But it was like the Delphonics and like the Temps, and it's only like one original Temptation left. They had what was the name? The OJs was there, and like you know, so you have to put the power in your hands is basically what you're saying. You know, you cannot allow for your talent and your legacy to be dictated by others that care less about it than you. And so organization, like Darlene is saying, organization is very important. The most organized people are the ones that control things. So the first generation of artists need to build some sort of cohesive organization to do all of these things, not just to have a museum, not just to come out again and do songs, but to perform and to remind people, because you still got fans. There's still 45-year-old women and men that remember rocking to you at block parties. And if you do it the right way, they will come. And not only they will come, but their sons and daughters will come as well. And then a respect for the legacy will begin to build. But until there's a cohesive organization that does
that,
but
they
it's
have
scattered.
That. Don't you guys have the Federation of the Preservation of Hip-Hop Culture? Isn't that when
we
I have my cousin Simone?
We have that,
you guys.
Darlene, we have that. And we have that, but the brother hit it right on the head. It has to be a cohesive organization that includes everybody,
mm-hmm.
not just one or two groups from the old school,
right.
and the rest of them is left out. You know, to try to get down with them. You know what I'm saying? It's just too many. There's too many hands in this jar.
Mm.
And it's not enough cookies.
Too many chefs.
You know?
Too many chefs.
And enough cookies. So you got people snatching the cookies and saying, yo, well, you can't get your own cookie, you out.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Is there a board? There is a board, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the board, you have your directors, right? Your board of directors. Then you have your members, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has that been established?
No.
Dude, that's the problem. There has to be Robert
they're
rules.
They're still fighting on.
We're still.
I'm not gonna say fighting, but I'm gonna say they're still negotiating
mm-hmm.
on who is gonna be these people. And this has been over a year. This has been over a year. So. Like I said, my agenda is to try to bring my crew back out with some new music,
mm-hmm.
do some parties, reach out to the youth,
mm-hmm.
incorporate the youth in our movement, and keep it moving from there. Because you only as strong as your last record.
Yeah.
You
well,
know what I'm saying?
In the black world.
Because
hip hop
is not, there's no loyalty in hip hop.
It's no loyalty in music for black artists because you can have groups like the Rolling Stones who are drug addicted, haven't been
mm-hmm.
out in years, and they're considered classics and they could fill an arena. What's
mm-hmm.
the difference between them and you guys? There's
I
no
think
difference.
It's the people that listen to the music. Because
right,
if you
but
look
the
at,
same people are listening to their music. You'd be surprised. You have probably more European followers and Japanese followers than you have American followers.
And that is true. That is
you
true.
Know?
I went out to Canada
mm-hmm.
Last year, and I had a marvelous time. And I was pretty much surprised.
You couldn't believe
at
it, right?
Response. You know what I'm saying? I'm just waiting to go out to Japan. It's like, yo, they out there waiting for y'all, but we still haven't been able to land a booking agent out there. You know?
Now with the tsunami and earthquake, you may, going anywhere over there right now, it's got to be put on the back burner.
Of course,
know,
yeah, of course. I'm just saying, they were a big market in hip-hop. They love hip hop over there.
Yeah.
I mean, but now they're in turmoil right now.
Yeah.
But the movement of old school hip hop is still exists. It's just still as far as building the board of directors and building a unity amongst the pioneers and the legends. You know what I'm saying? Everybody is worried about getting jerked, and rightfully so, because a lot of times when the pioneers get involved in something, they
mm-hmm.
usually get the short end of the stick.
Mm.
You know, so that's why everybody is being very cautious right now,
mm-hmm.
and just, I mean, let the negotiations continue as long as they got to continue, because people are just tired of getting the short end of the stick. You know.
Well, you know, whatever you guys decide to do. You know, I need to be informed because I have to let the word get out there. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
I'm sorry. And I'm thinking that the same momentum that you guys used when you first started selling records, if you can get, like, a third of that same energy and like you said, join up with some young people that are hungry, because that's what I do. I always team up with, like, interns at colleges because,
mm-hmm.
you know, they want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And you do it like that, and you lead by example, and the other ones will follow. The egos aside.
Exactly.
You know, you're going to have the egos. You know, it's a male-dominated field, and you guys, you do have that testosterone thing happening. But
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, you have to think about what your grandkids, what legacy you want to leave behind for your grandkids, because 100 years from now, as the caller said, I don't want them to say that Eminem is the king of hip-hop. I mean, I say that all the time. I even said that in my book. I said we have to be the authors, you know, of the dictionaries that defined us. And, you know, I'm constantly telling my friends and my family, you know, well, I remember blah, 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 and they'll be like, well, you know, you're too old to be thinking. I said, listen, well, first of all, I just made 51 yesterday, okay? So I was around when hip-hop started. So that's my generation. And I just feel like I don't want my generation, I don't want to feel like I lived this life and the music and the friends that I've come to know and have known for over 30, 35, 40 years are oblivious to the future. Like, I don't want us to be kicked to the side. Like, they'll say, oh, that's that old lady over there. She used to have a TV show. You know, or that's that guy. He used to be a rapper. You know,
we have to pass the torch. We have to pass the torch.
We have to do
properly.
And, any way that I can help, you know, like I said, getting the word out, you know, communication is key. I have the radio program, thank God. I'm always going to have TV access, you know, as long as I live. I'm always going to have my own thing, but, you know, it doesn't matter. I don't mind linking up with other people, but I feel that being independent is always the key. A lot of people don't like putting in the work, Reg, you know, but sometimes you got to look at those that are
That's doing it.
And they put in the work, and
mm-hmm.
you got to get your hands dirty, and it's hard, but at the end of the day, it's your creation, you know. And I want to thank you. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for the music, because
the music takes
me to a time that was a good time in my life. And, you know, it's feel-good music, and we need that feel-good music to come back. Now, for all those listening out there who want to get in contact with Reggie Reg of the Craft Tour, want to book them, is there a way that they can contact you? Is there a website, their email, is there a number? Like, how can people find you?
There's two ways they can contact. They always can reach out to us on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
or Reggie Reg Crash Tour on Facebook. You can also, if you got if you're writing down this number right now, it's all good. 917-375-2684. That's my direct line right there.
Okay.
We don't have a website up as of yet. We're working on that. But Facebook right now is a social networking, and that's how we're gonna work. We're working it through the Facebook right now.
Well, that sounds good. When you guys are ready to do the website, you need to contact FutureNetworkProductions.com, because a sign of no business is a business with no sign. You have to have a business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This way you can sell
Future
your
Networks,
music
right
here. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Future Networks, yeah, I got to get that.
FutureNetworkProductions.com. Just go to that website, blah, 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 and the rest is self-explanatory. But I want to thank you for calling in. This week, I've been trying to get you guys on here, and I'm so glad that Reggie Red is rocking on the radio.
Yeah, 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 no doubt, no doubt.
And we want to thank you. We're getting ready to close out with the Crash Crew. And until next Thursday, peace and love.
Uh-huh. Peace and love.
Bye-bye.
No doubt. One love.
Hey, y'all. Crash is rocking on your radio. So good to be queen, stop to be stopping. Keep moving, just keep on rocking.
a reliable source, but he was talking too fast, and I got lost. I asked him to explain what he was talking about. My man was too excited, he began to shout. I finally figured out what homeboy was saying.
You never guess what the radio is.
I turned my stereo on, and what do you know? Reggie Red is rocking on your radio. From God, to find sense of thought, it shouldn't be made hard, cause I'm a man that's strong, that's where I belong, you're guaranteed to get hit, if you tell me I'm wrong, your mind is crunch, as I take you to lunch, with my high power rounds, I knock you out like a punch,
no time to explain, because it really don't matter,
I'm EK Mike T, and I would serve you on a platter,
G-Man, talking on the radio,
G-Man, but other rappers can't address me as Lord, the rhyme is my armor, the mic is my sword, and the MC's down, I've never been better, cause the rap I'm popping goes uncontested, like a lethal
Ain't gon' stress you, but I'ma let you know, girl. You be killin' them, you be killin' them, girl. girl, you be killing them. You be killing them, girl, you be killing them. You be killing them, girl, you be killing them.
Yeah, I know that's what they all says. She got a donkey with a warm ball dance. Keep it clean cut like ball heads. Been playing with that green long as ball pads. Say you got a ball harder than the ball players. All she wanna know is they're balling ass. Can't falter, the last falter. But he ain't beat it up, high salter. Should've seen her come to me when I called her. Slow strut like she walking to the altar. Handbag on her arm, cost four bills. And she ain't got a bag, brow or steel. Often imitated, never duplicated. They say she a dime, I say she underrated. I just met her, so the next solution. Dead my old chick, execution.
You what's up, girl, ain't gotta ask it. I did them all now, I bought a casket. They should arrest you, or whoever dressed you. Ain't gonna stress you, but I'ma let you know, girl. You be killing them, you be killing them, girl. You be killing them, you be killing them, girl. You be killing them, you be killing them, girl. You be killing them, you be killing them.
I had to let you know.
You be killing them, you be killing them, girl. You be killing them,
All the ladies.
Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to De Niro, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my ties. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. Nigga, I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from famous in the Yankee King. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of niggas walking with my click though. Welcome to the melting pot, corners where we selling rock. Africa been by the shit, home of the hip hop. Yellow cap, trippy cap, dollar cap, holla back. For foreigners it ain't fair, they act like they forgot how to act. 8 million stories out there in the naked city. It's a pity half of y'all won't make it. Me, I got a plug, bet you it, I got it made. It's Jesus paying LeBron, I'm paying Dwayne Wade. Three dice, Z-Lo, three card Marley. Labor Day parade, rest in peace, Bob Marley. Statue of Liberty, long live the World Trade, long live the King. Yo, I'm from the Empire State. That's a step out of bounds quick. The sidelines is lined with casualties. You sip to life casually, then gradually become worse. Don't fight the apple eve. Caught up in the in crowd. Now you're in style. And in the winter gets cold, in vogue with your skin out. City of sin, it's a pity on a whim. Good girls going bad, the city's filled with them. Mommy took a bus trip, now she got a bus out. Everybody ride her, just like a bus route. Hail Mary to the city, you're a virgin. And Jesus can't save you, life starts when the church in. Came here for school, graduated to the highlight. Ball players, rap stars, addicted to the limelight. MDMA got you feeling like a champion. The city never sleeps, better slip you an ambient.